Essentially, the region-specific issues come around tax generally. Like in the USA, it's a bit of a minefield. You have all the separate states that you need to register in and understand the tax obligations in those. And it's equally the same in Europe. You have the OSPATs that you need to register for and return. And then just the things on top of that, it's also language barriers, especially in Europe. You've got a half-hour drive and you're in a different language zone. So yeah, there's always those language barriers, but the main issues that e-commerce space are always essentially the same. And so it's normally cash flow-based problems that we all face.
Hello and welcome to the Ecom Ops podcast. We believe that there is more than enough content focused on e-commerce marketing and not enough content celebrating the real heroes of e-commerce, those running the operation. Each week, we find and interview an e-commerce operations expert to share the secrets behind how some of this industry's most exciting businesses are run. I'm your host, Norbert Strappler, the CEO of ThinkSpider.
Hello and welcome to another Ecom Ops podcast. And today I'm talking with Tom from the Bean Ninjas, specializing in helping e-commerce businesses scale. Xero Partner, Bookkeeping Partner of the Year 2019. A lot of experience in e-commerce, working with seven and eight figure e-commerce businesses, looking at scale, best in class bookkeeping, accounting, virtual CFO, tax services. So a lot of keywords around e-commerce, a lot of things you need to consider when you run an e-commerce business. And I'm very happy to have you here, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks very much, Norbert. I'm super happy to be here and talk to you today.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Tom, tell us a bit more about yourself. How did you get into that entire e-commerce topic and to the Bean Ninjas?
So the way I fell into accounting was almost by my love of travel. So basically, I was moving around and traveling when I was younger, and I was relying on local jobs. So as you know, if you travel, when you go to a new country, you don't always land a well-paid job. So I thought, well, if I want to keep traveling, I need to make it a bit more sustainable for myself and make my own money and be able to sustain myself on that. So I kind of thought, what's the same everywhere that you go? And one thing that jumped into my mind was numbers. So that's what pushed me onto accountancy. And then while I was kind of doing my accounting training and going through that, I started getting a few clients on my side online, because that's where I really wanted to be, in the online space. So I started looking at the online softwares and those kind of things while I was doing my training. And then about 8 years ago, I was lucky enough to come across Bean Ninjas, who were a great firm that was founded in Australia by two partners at the time. And they kind of grew organically. They weren't really looking to grow outside of Australia, but because of the communities that they're in, they expanded quite quickly internationally. And because they had a few UK clients, I was lucky enough to jump in then at that early stage and help them grow the business. And then it's about 2 years before COVID, we decided to specialize into e-commerce, because we saw from some of the clients that had come to us, there was a big gap in what current accountants and bookkeepers could provide for e-commerce businesses and what they actually needed. So we kind of niched down onto e-commerce and provided those services that were missing. So we filled that gap there. And then it was quite fortunate, because e-commerce just took off during COVID. And business really boomed, and that allowed us to even double down on our speciality, on our niche, and really reach out to some great partners like A2X and Xero and form some good partnership agreements with them.
Awesome. Yeah. E-commerce in general, in the times of COVID, I think we won 10 years in digitalization. Everything grew so fast. But with your extensive experience as a remote accountant and with various countries that you work in, what unique challenges do e-commerce businesses face in different regions regarding accounting and bookkeeping and all this kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I mean, essentially the problems that they face in the different regions are the same. The main issue is always going to be cash flow and making sure you've bought in enough stock and still leave enough cash reserves to pay everything else that's going on in your business, like your contractors and software and things like that. Essentially, the region-specific issues come around tax generally. Like in the USA, it's a bit of a minefield. You have all the separate states that you need to register in and understand the tax obligations in those. And it's equally the same in Europe. You have the OSPATs that you need to register for and return. And then just the things on top of that, it's also language barriers, especially in Europe. You've got a half-hour drive and you're in a different language zone. So that does make it a lot more difficult to fill in and submit forms, tax forms and things like that, to the relevant authorities. So there's always those language barriers, but the main issues that e-commerce face are always essentially the same. And so it's normally cash flow based problems that we all face.
It's very interesting hearing you talking about different countries. Do you have stuff in different countries to do the accounting based on the country where the companies come from? Or do you or can you do accounting for actually a bunch of countries from where you are?
Yeah, so I mean, my focus is mainly UK. So we focus on doing UK accounts, and we have that service in Australia as well. And when it comes to taxes, what we do is we actually, the lucky thing now that we didn't have 10, 15 years ago, is we have really good software integrations that basically take care of taxes for you. And taxes is the thing that keeps most e-commerce entrepreneurs up at night, worrying, looking over their shoulder. That's the... This is like a dream come true. Yeah, there's softwares like TaxJar that you can really just plug them into, you know, your Amazon, your Shopify, and that will automatically calculate your taxes for you. So yeah, we do lean on some really great partners and integrations to give that full service for you guys in the e-commerce sector.
Yeah, so you're a specialist in creating the bespoke solutions for the online businesses using Xero. Can you share how Xero's features can be optimized, especially for the need of e-commerce?
Yeah, so e-commerce specifically, Xero is really great. It's got a lot going on there that can really help them out. So first of all, I'm going to just chat about the integrations that it does, because that's where the power comes through. Because Xero is basically an accounting platform. So with the different businesses, you add on a different. So with e-commerce, what we have, we always team up with A2X. And what this is, I'm not sure if you've heard of this one, but what it does is your Amazon payouts that come in to hit the bank. A lot of people make the mistake of just coding that one Amazon income just straight to sale. But as you know, that includes FBA fees, it includes seller fees. There's a lot behind the scenes in that Amazon payout. So basically A2X brings all that in and spits into the correct months in Xero as well. It falls into the right tax year, into the correct VAT return. That really helps us there. And then there's another one with your HubDoc, which is your document management, which is, you know, you get all these bills and things and your accountants always ask for them a year end, which is an absolute pain to go try gather them up. So what this is, it's actually owned by Xero, so it's only ever going to integrate closer. And what this is, you just send your documents there when you receive them. So if I send you a bill today, Norbert, you'd forward that onto HubDoc, you get a specialized email address. And then that'll push that up into Xero. And it'll give you that accounts payable, so you'll be able to see, I need to pay Tom in the next 30 days. This bill is in Xero. It's right there. And the great feature of Xero that I really like for e-commerce is you have your profit and loss, right? With Xero, you can actually create tracking categories, and that enables you to generate a separate profit and loss for each tracking category. So what I sometimes like to split out for is sometimes people have, you know, two or three Shopify stores for one business name. So you can create like a separate profit and loss for each Shopify store. So they can see the profitability of each store separately. And that enables, you know, for them in times of limited cash, maybe they can say, okay, this store makes more money. I'm going to use my money to buy the products for this store because they've got a better profit margin, and, you know, make sure the cash is going to the most effective place really for it.
That's really interesting. And I think it's so important because what in the stores is actually, even if you manage to add the costs, you see just a rough breakdown of profit and loss, but not the real profit loss, which is so important to get also the marketing numbers in together, the entire stuff that you need, the stock, the warehouses. Companies, of course, struggling with, because selling a product for a specific price and calculating the margin is really critical for health financials. Do you see as the top financial health indicators that e-commerce business owners should regularly monitor?
Yeah, I don't think you touched on it there. I'd say the number one to look at is always your growth profit. Because basically it's not just good to look at on a month-by-month basis. It can give you like a trend. Your gross profit should always stay pretty constant. You're always buying the same product from the same supplier and selling it at the same cost. So if you start to see any kind of movement in that gross profit, like your gross profit margin is falling, then you know you kind of need to take action. And it sounds like silly. You might be like, oh, you'd spot it easily. But there can be small incremental price changes, like maybe by just 2p a unit by a supplier, that you don't really notice. But obviously 2p, if you're buying 1,000 units a month over a year, those incremental changes can start building up. So gross profit is good because then if it starts falling, you need to either do one of two things: is negotiate with your suppliers or find another supplier, or raise your prices to make sure you're still hitting that gross profit margin that you need. And then there's three others that I always recommend to watch. So the other is your operating cash flow. As you mentioned, it's making sure you have the cash that comes in from your sales, that it is enough to pay to buy the product, and also to pay those other things like software and contractors and things like that.
Mm.
So the operating cash flow is very important for the life of your business to go forwards. And then the other two is basically inventory lead time. So this is basically the amount of time, if you place an order today, and it's basically how long that takes to arrive with you. So if you're shipping from the Far East like China, obviously your lead time could be a bit longer. You might have like 3 months lead time on those. That's quite feasible if you're shipping by sea. And basically this ties in with this fourth one, which is inventory turnover. And that's basically how fast your products sell. If you've got 1,000 products that you sell a month, when you get down to just having 3,000 products in your store, you've got 3 months left. It takes 3 months to get new products from your suppliers. You know, at that point is when you have to reorder those particular products. So yeah, it's very important to know your products on an individual basis as well as, you know, as an overall business.
Yeah, and I think we are talking about 3-4 different e-commerce stores, the typical retailers that have anyway a brick and mortar store maybe, or a small warehouse, and buying from local suppliers that maybe have the goods faster than those that do drop shipping, for instance. They also have another story. And those who really purchase and maybe produce the products that really need a long lead time to get them on file, absolutely. And you as a virtual CFO services, can you explain how a virtual CFO can transform an e-commerce business and maybe share a success story?
Yeah, sure. So first I'll just explain what a virtual CFO is, just so everyone out there knows what they do. So basically it's an enhanced relationship with your team. They'll get to know everything about your business, and the aim of their job is to bring more financial stability, which in effect means saving you money and redirecting it in the most efficient way. So this can be things like diving into your contracts with your 3PL provider. And I've seen this a couple of times. Like, you start off with a very good partner, and as your business grows, you stay with this partner. But then as your business grows, you need different kind of services. It's more important to get that inventory canned at the end of the month. This provider might not have that. They might not have a good software integration, which is easy when you're dealing with lower volumes. But now when you start selling more volumes, you might need to move to another 3PL center that can actually provide better service for you and, you know, save you money as well. So yeah, in terms of what the CFO will do is they will be able to give like strategic advice. If you're looking to expand abroad, add extra product lines, they can help you direct your resources in the correct way to get to those. And one success story we had that was really good actually is one client we had, and they had a very strong presence in UK, and they pushed to Ireland, sorry, to Germany to sell. And they were struggling with Germany for about 2 years. It was a bit of a difficult journey. Dealing with German tax authorities was quite different to dealing with here in the UK. It's not so electronically based. And there's a lot of struggle with trademarks and things like that. So it did actually take up a lot of his time. So what we actually did is we split out in zero using those tracking categories, the income from Germany compared to UK. And then we could actually see they were barely breaking even after all of the extra costs that they were spending in Germany. And it was taking up more than half of their time. So the decision was made to pull out of Germany based on that and just put all that money into more UK sales. And yeah, it resulted in a much higher profit for them at the end of the first month of doing it. So yeah, expansion isn't always great. It's always good to kind of make sure you do look at everything that's involved in moving to a new country.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because I think that as a CEO, you're always looking to grow, or as a owner of a company, you're always looking to grow and to expand. But sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it simply doesn't. And when there is a CFO involved that really checks the real data coming in from a money perspective or from numbers, that's maybe a more accurate decision that can be made, instead of just, I would want to be in Germany and sell there. Do you see any emerging technologies or trends in accounting that e-commerce businesses should be aware of?
Yeah, so there's a lot of exciting developments. Well, depends, accounting's not always exciting to everyone, but there's a lot of great developments that will make your life easier. Yeah. So it's great. Like in, for example, the Zero Roadshow last year, they're mentioning the developments in connectivity. So just imagine a world with no emailing of bills or invoices. Basically, when you create your PO in that of the products you want in your software, this will just automatically appear in the software of your provider. And then, you know, their invoice when they've created it will just automatically pop up in your software in your Xero file. A world without having to go back and forth and find those, they're just going to appear in the right places. It's amazing. And again, so I'm gonna just have to go with something from Xero here. They just actually mentioned the release last week of Jax, which is basically their own inbuilt AI. And what this gives is, it's called Just Ask Xero, Jax for short. And what this gives is it's like a, you can ask a question within Xero, and then using like the AI interface, it will give you an answer, but then also give you further prompts and further actions that it could do for you. So you can ask it what your gross profit is or what's the projected cash flow for the next 6 months. And it'll be able to just put that on screen for you, that cash flow. And you can then ask it to put in the contractor's pay for that into that cash flow projection and see if you can afford to hire those two contractors and things like that. So it looks like it's going to be really exciting when that is released later this year. These things aren't necessarily accounting related, but just based on the AI thing, like the increase of just in time, which is basically inventory arriving exactly when it's needed, and that deeper integration is going to save money on costs and time. Like if you have your Shopify store, when your products start getting low, it automatically orders from your supplier so that when it does run out in the Shopify store, it's arrived and you've had to do nothing. It does it all in the back end. I think it's going to save you so much time on storage and so much cost money on storage, so much time managing it. It's going to be a very exciting couple of years for e-commerce.
My most loved topic, automation. Yeah, it's absolutely, it's so critical. You get your delivery and it should be spread across all the channels. Of course, it's not just that you have the Shopify store. You maybe have an Amazon. You maybe have Amazon Prime Merchant. You maybe have an additional store, and the stock, of course, needs to be accurate. And the orders also, when there is a stock movement, it needs to be replicated in all the different systems. So very critical. Are you afraid a bit of the AI features? Will it take over the accounting job?
That's always a question that pops up. I think it's one of those you can either look at it and be afraid, or you can look at it and embrace it. At the end of the day, the AI is going to be there, but they're always going to need someone to set it up in the first place to get all those integrations connected for you. And looking at kind of the advisory that the AI is offering at the moment, it's going to be great for people that just need that basic level of advisory. But you can't beat that kind of more in-depth knowing nothing about your business and those personal recommendations that they can provide. So I'm excited as an accountant. I think there will be, you know, there will be maybe job losses in the industry, but I think overall I'm more looking forward to what's to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very curious about what capabilities that we get in the future, in the next couple of 3 to 5 years, how much it's going to be implemented. We see now a lot of software tools playing around with the AI. So I definitely need to say playing around, because I rarely see really well working implemented solutions as of now. OCR and creating all these booking lines, for instance, I think this is something that it can do, of course, based on a scanned PDF or so. But at the moment, there is a lot of failures and errors that you see in the output, actually. But the way is already here, and we just need to see if it works out as we expect.
Exactly. Yeah, there's still some room for improvement, but hopefully in 5-10 years time, it will lead to more beach time for us.
Yeah. That's cool. Are there any common financial pitfalls that e-commerce businesses fall into, and how can they be avoided?
Yeah, so the main ones that I see is especially expanding too fast. So you're looking at maybe buying too much stock in, and you have that there. You're paying huge amounts to Amazon for the FBA fees. That's a huge one. And in terms of what I see coming, I guess it might not be so much e-commerce owners themselves, but when they're with like an accountancy firm that maybe doesn't specialize in e-commerce, one thing that I do see pop up quite often is basically doubling up on their sales. And the problem with this means it's double tax, which you pay at the end of the year. But unfortunately, those double sales are actually non-existent. It's just on paper. So what happens is when you have Shopify, you can pay out to Stripe, you can pay out to PayPal, things like that. What I've seen happen quite often is that those PayPal receipts, the Stripe receipts, they're all coded to sales. But then, you know, every however many days when they pay out to from Stripe and PayPal to your bank, I've seen that coded as sales as well. So there's actually a duplicate there of both of them being, you know, posted to sales, which is just one thing to massively avoid. You don't want to pay, no one wants to pay tax. You don't want to pay double tax.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. What financial advice would you give to someone just starting the journey in e-commerce?
Yeah, so one thing I'd say to them always is just get started early. Don't try to run before you walk. With taxes, it's one of those things that you're always looking over your shoulder. It's one thing that makes you very uncertain. And being uncertain, and if you're working day in, day out, and you're uncertain, it's not going to give you much confidence to go forwards. So just early on, there's options that, you know, obviously in the early days, you might not have the cash there to pay for an outsourced bookkeeping service to make sure it's all done for you. But there's options to pay just to get the setup and the training on that platform. And that's the reason we chose Xero, just because it's very easy for us as finance professionals to understand. But it's also very easy for people with no finance experience. You know, come to an e-commerce specialist, get yourself set up, and you start the bookkeeping while it's basic. And then when it gets to a level where your business has grown and you can afford to outsource, just do that. Because if you leave it, as well as being uncertain, let's say you register for taxes 2 years down the road, they're going to be HMRC in the UK. They're going to be like, okay, so you should have registered 2 years ago. Let's go back and relook at all those sales. And then you'll be hit with a bomb. It's painful. I've seen it lots of times. They get hit with a tax bill, thousands of pounds, because they have to pay all these years at one go. And at that point, you've not kept that cash fit. So it can break you further down the road. So just get set up. Don't be scared of it. That's what people are there to help you out with.
Yeah. And this is a story, and it's so interesting. It's not only in e-commerce. I've heard that so much for every other businesses that start up, for every new company not used to pay the taxes so long after you just got the money on your account. You're calculating with something that you actually don't have. Yeah. My wife is also an accountant. She knows that, and her words always is, you have the money on the bank account, but you actually don't have it. Yeah. You need to calculate that it is not there. Put it away to pay the taxes later on, and you're safe. Don't calculate with what you don't have. And I think that's a nice advice for everyone starting up, to really get in mind, if it runs good, you need to pay for that.
Exactly. Taxes are a good thing in the end. You want to live in a country with their services. So yeah, don't be scared of it. Just get it set.
The more taxes you pay, the better your business is performing. And that's a cool thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Last question for today, Tom. Who has taught you the most about e-commerce in your career?
Yeah, it's about e-commerce specifically. I'd say it's probably myself. I know it sounds a bit cliche, but being there and doing it. Yeah. You kind of just by getting in there and diving in and being like the onboarding specialist for the firm for a long time. Because it's in the onboarding where you learn the most. You have to do all these integrations and make sure they're working, test it and test it again. Yeah, so it's just being there and working with e-commerce brands, talking to A2X, talking to Xero, and doing it day in, day out for about 5 years now. Yeah, it's just being on the job and going through the steps that you do.
Thank you so much for your time, Tom. It was really a pleasure. And yeah, as said, the numbers, most boring thing in e-commerce, guys. So not marketing, not talking to clients, creating products is really the numbers. It's a pain in the ass. Sorry for that.
Yeah.
It needs to be done. It needs to be accurate. And it is, of course, let's say life saver later on when it comes to taxes. And especially when you want to grow, it's important and to get that in shape. Thanks so much for your time, Tom. And pleasure.
Thanks very much, Noah, for having me. It's been a great chat.
Yeah, thank you. And guys, if you liked it, hit the like button, give a review, and come back for the next episode. See you then. Bye-bye.
And that's it for this episode of the Ecom Ops Podcast. If you enjoyed listening and would like us to find and interview more e-commerce operations experts, please search for Ecom Ops Podcast in your favorite podcast listening app, and then subscribe, rate, and review. Until next time.